headlines, Iran slapped sanctions on nearly two dozen entities and individuals affiliated with the European Union for backing and inciting terror and chaos in the country. Iran criticizes the UN's silence on Israel's continued aggression against Syria, saying that attacks on civilians and infrastructure violate international law. Ukraine says there are no signs that Russian forces are abandoning Kherson as Kiev prepares for a counteroffensive to retake the southern region. Hello and welcome, everybody. Iran says that it has rather imposed sanctions on several European institutions and individuals for supporting terror and chaos in Iran. The foreign ministry has released a list of 21 entities and individuals from the European Union in a retaliatory move against the bloc. The ministry has strongly condemned the EU's illegal bans on Iran, saying they're based on unfounded allegations. It has described the EU move as clear interference in Iran's internal affairs. Just days ago, some European countries imposed a set of restrictions, alleging they were in response to the way Iran has been handling the recent riots. Tehran responded by blacklisting a number of British individuals and entities for supporting terrorism and inciting violence in the country. Iran is once again calling on the United Nations to break its silence on the Israeli regime's continued aggression against Syria. According to Iran's ambassador to the UN, Israel is targeting Syrian civilians and infrastructure in clear violation of international law and human rights. Amir Saidi Ravani says the UN's silence has further emboldened the regime. Israel frequently strikes targets inside Syrian territory. The Damascus government has repeatedly urged the UN to condemn such acts of aggression. On Monday, the regime's warplanes fired several missiles at targets near the capital, Damascus, leaving a Syrian soldier wounded. We've reached out to journalist and political commentator Said Mohsen Abbas to get his thoughts on why the UN refuses to react to the Israeli aggression.
I think the hypocrisy of the UN has been laid bare so often that it beggars belief, to be fair, and even having to comment on it is almost insulting for any analyst, really. The United Nations is basically a body which implements whatever primarily the Anglo-Zionist Empire wants done in the world. And so what they want done here is the breakup of Syria. They continue to be allowing Israel to support Daesh terrorist forces on the ground in Syria. They continue to supplement and support the occupation of Syria by the Americans, the Western forces along with them. They continue to help advance Israel's periphery doctrine, which is a well-set doctrine, which says that they will control all of the countries, even on the peripheries of Israel's borders, etc. They are clearly part and parcel of the Yinon plan, which the Odin Yinon plan that Israel has in place, which says that from the sea right to the Euphrates River is essentially Greater Israel. And that's what they've always wanted in one way or another, whether it's through satellite puppet regimes as in Saudi Arabia or Jordan or various other nations that surround them, the majority of them. That's exactly what they continue to want to do.
Well, Ukraine says that Russia is strengthening its forces in the southern Kherson region in preparation for an imminent counteroffensive by the Ukrainian military. According to an advisor to President Volodymyr Zelensky, the heaviest of battles is going to take place in Kherson as Moscow's military is digging in to face advancing Ukrainian forces. The official says there are no signs that the Russian forces are abandoning the area. Instead, they're replenishing and strengthening their grouping there. Moscow has been evacuating local residents in anticipation of a Ukrainian counterattack to recapture the city. Kherson is one of the four regions Russia officially annexed last month. Moscow says that people in those provinces show overwhelming support to join Russia in referendums. Kherson is thought to be the most strategically important region among the four. Russia will soon submit a resolution at the UN Security Council to demand a probe into the activities of U.S. biological labs in Ukraine. In the draft resolution released earlier, Moscow has asked for setting up a commission consisting of all members of the Security Council to investigate the matter. Russia has argued that the U.S. and Ukraine are violating a convention which prohibits the use of biological weapons. The draft resolution would be considered during a session on October the 27th. Since the start of the war in Ukraine, Moscow has been accusing Kiev and Washington of carrying out biological weapons activities in laboratories located in Ukraine. The U.S. has admitted to running biolabs in the country after initially rejecting those claims as Russian propaganda. On this segment of the program, the Palestinian Foreign Ministry is calling on the International Criminal Court to probe the Israeli crimes in the occupied territories. The ministry has condemned continued deadly aggression against Palestinians. Also, Iran and Jordan have separately denounced Israeli raids across the occupied territories, calling on the international community to protect Palestinians. Meanwhile, the European Union has expressed its regret over the latest killings in the West Bank, but stopped short of condemning the regime's crimes. The Israeli military raids on Nablus and Ramallah left six Palestinians dead early on Tuesday. Joining us on this edition of the News Review, we have our correspondent, Mona Kandil, who's with us from Ramallah. Also joining us from Amman, Jordan, we have columnist for Palestine Pulse at Al Monitor, Mr. Daoud Kutab. Welcome to the program, to the both of you. Let's start off with Mona in Ramallah. Give us, first of all, your thoughts, what's taking place with regards to the Palestinian Foreign Ministry calling on the International Criminal Court to probe the Israeli crimes, and also bring us up to speed on the recent deadly Israeli aggression against Palestinians.
Well, according to a statement by the Palestinian Ministry of Foreign Affairs, it said that the prosecutor of the International Criminal Court must carry out his duties and employ all available tools in order to deter Israeli crimes, investigate them, and hold perpetrators accountable. We have mentioned that yesterday Israeli forces carried out a deadly operation in Nablus city, northern the occupied West Bank. They killed five Palestinians. At least two of them were civilians, barbers. They were killed during this operation, and 21 Palestinians were wounded. At the same time, we are speaking, according to our sources yesterday, that three of those Palestinians were members or fighters of the newly formed Palestinian group, the Lion's Den. At the end of the day, all the international laws know and say very well that Palestinians have the right to defend themselves, even if they are members of any Palestinian resistance groups or civilians. These are Israeli occupiers. They should leave the Palestinian lands, according to all the Palestinians, according to the international laws. So Palestinians have the right, at the end of the day, to defend themselves. But what's being carried out every day in the occupied West Bank, as what happened yesterday, five were killed in Nablus, one Palestinian teen was killed in Nabi Saleh near Ramallah, just because Palestinians went out to express their rejection of the Israeli crimes. So Israel is doing its utmost to prevent Palestinians being engaged in the different forms of resistance, and now the resistance being, armed resistance. Palestinians had been engaged in armed struggle against the Israeli soldiers recently.
Mr. Daoud Kutab, the Palestinian Foreign Ministry is calling the ICC to intervene. How can it intervene at this point when the Israeli regime won't cooperate with it? And also, we've seen constant pressure coming from the United States against officials from the ICC who want to get a better picture of what's taking place in the occupied Palestinian territories.
Well, what we're seeing now is the explosion of the lack of will, the political will of the international community. For months and months and months, the Palestinian leadership has been calling on the world to put to action their belief that there is a two-state solution that is possible. They have refused to recognize the Palestinian state. And as a result, and at the same time, the Israelis are refusing to negotiate. So we are in a very difficult political limbo, and there is a political vacuum. There is nobody that is in charge. The Israelis are interested in their own elections. They're not interested in the Palestinian situation. And so because of this political vacuum, there has been lots of warnings that there's going to be an explosion, yet nobody took that into consideration. And now we're seeing some of this explosion bursting up in everybody's face. Both Israelis, the Palestinians, and the international community are trying to figure out how to resolve it. But the solution is very easy. There has to be a political horizon. People have to see hope. Without hope, people will be frustrated. And you see what happens when people are frustrated.
And how can... you mentioned hope. Hope is for changing of the status quo. How can that status quo change when we're seeing a lack of action from international bodies such as the United Nations, such as the Arab League,
absolutely,
such as the European Union?
You're absolutely right. Everybody, including the Islamic Cooperation Council, the Arab League, the UN, everybody is responsible for the state we are in now. And that's why people are taking guns in their own hands. And they're taking the law in their own hands because they don't see anybody else doing anything. You know, Audai Tamimi, when he was killed, he left a note saying, I know we're not going to defeat the Israelis with one operation, but we need to have hope because we need to have people need to really think and carry arms to protect our own country and our own land. So we are in a difficult situation. I think the Israelis are mistaken in ignoring the calls of Palestinians for political dialogue, and the international community are refusing to put proper pressure on them. And that includes the International Criminal Court, because, as you said, International Criminal Court is not allowed to operate in occupied territories. The Israelis are refusing to investigate, including the crime of killing Shireen Abu Akleh, a well-known journalist. They are not doing anything to prove that they are a country of laws.
All right, thanks a lot. We're going to have to leave it there. Mona Kandil joining us from Ramallah, and also thanks to Mr. Dawood Khattab joining us from Amman. And that's it with this edition of the News Review, but do stay tuned. There's plenty more to come. See you in a bit. Welcome back. As the UK welcomes its fourth Prime Minister in just 4 years, many are now looking to the future and if Rishi Sunak has what it takes to fix the many issues with Britain's troubled economy. Robert Carter reports from London.
During his first speech as British Prime Minister, Rishi Sunak used the occasion to issue a call for unity. Sunak must find a way to quickly unite not just a bitterly divided Conservative Party, but also a deeply troubled nation. However, he also issued warnings of difficult times ahead.
I will place economic stability and confidence at the heart of this government's agenda. This will mean difficult decisions to come.
The Prime Minister has inherited a country in crisis. Energy prices are high, cost of living through the roof, and millions of Brits are expected to struggle this winter. Another worry for Sunak, Conservative Party popularity has plummeted in recent months, sitting approximately 30 points behind the opposition Labour Party. Sunak's supporters say he's economically experienced from his days as Chancellor and praised Sunak as Britain's youngest leader in 200 years and the first ever non-white leader. But his critics claim that's just not enough.
He definitely has the credentials, he definitely has the experience, been there in the as Chancellor before. But again, we need to understand, you know, where does he sit right here, right now, with everyday voters? He has not been elected by the people, as well as most people feel that he cannot resonate with the ones that are struggling. I'm not sure if it is real representation for anyone of a minority background, especially when he comes from a very, very elitist club and he does not really represent many he's probably top 1% of majority of brown people or Asians, whatever you want to call it, in the entire world. So it's very difficult to sort of resonate and feel sort of, close in that way.
Many challenges lie ahead for the new Prime Minister, in particular how he's going to overcome Britain's many economic crises. However, even if he does find a way to overcome Britain's economic woes, question marks still remain surrounding if he has what it takes to win the Conservatives the next general election. Robert Carter, London.
The United States, Japan, and South Korea are promising an unprecedented response if North Korea decides to go ahead with a much-speculated nuclear test. Deputy foreign ministers of the three countries held a news conference after their talks in Tokyo. South Korea's Cho Hyun-dong warned of an unparalleled scale of response, while his U.S. counterpart Wendy Sherman urged Pyongyang to refrain from provocations that destabilize the region. And Japan's representative referred to the three nations' resolve to deepen cooperation. They believe North Korea is preparing to conduct its seventh nuclear bomb testing. Also on Wednesday, thousands of South Korean Marines staged amphibious landing drills. The exercises are part of larger 12-day war games, some of which are conducted jointly by the U.S. Pyongyang sees the war games as an existential threat. And in Canada, hundreds of thousands of Indigenous people who were victims of the sinister residential school system may not receive compensation for a while. A human rights tribunal has rejected the $30 billion deal that was meant to compensate the victims and to reform the child and family services system. The tribunal argues that the government has removed some of the affected individuals from the plan or reduced the amount of payments to them. Indigenous leaders say the ruling would delay compensation for more than 300,000 children and their families for a period of 113 years. Indigenous children were forcefully removed from their homes and moved to boarding schools. In recent months, hundreds of unmarked graves were discovered at the sites of former schools. A program was apparently designed to assimilate the children into the Canadian society, but they were subjected to abuse, rape, and malnutrition, and many died. That's it with the world news for now. Bye, everybody.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
سيو تو
شومان
يعني
بازار
Many people have ideas. However, those who turn their ideas into reality are the ones who search for ways to make their ideas happen. More often than not, this occurs by joining knowledge with method. Knowledge brings competitive advantages and generates sustainable market leadership. Its tools are creativity and innovation, which are all intangible human talents. Never more than now has knowledge been so critical and significant in production and the shift towards a knowledge-based economy. Hello and welcome to another edition of Bazaar. I'm your host Ali Reza Ikhtiarzadeh, and this week we are going to explore the central role science and technology parks play in complementing the knowledge-based production ecosystem. We wanted to see how the government is shifting towards a knowledge-based economy, and plus we wanted to understand why tech parks are so critical to industry development and the national economy. So let's get started. To better understand the country's knowledge-based ecosystem, we visited an event at Semnan Science and Technology Park where we could get some answers. Science and technology parks are where startups and innovative teams can operate in one geographical location. These areas provide diverse services and facilities to companies that fit the criteria. We were able to catch up with a couple companies that operate out of this park. One of these companies specializes in producing advanced machines used in mining. This company is one of only a handful that has managed to indigenize these previously imported products. Events like the one we visited helped braid together and link companies, investors, and infrastructures with the necessary resources to complete projects. These components all make up the various parts of the knowledge-based ecosystem. But we also wanted to know how science and tech parks operate and why they are attractive to businesses. One of the advantages of these parks is that it's a space where crucial resources are offered. These places are a focal point for serving knowledge-based companies producing advanced specialized products needed in the domestic market. Science and technology parks also serve as a launching pad toward the international arena. We spoke with a park official who helped shed more light on this issue.
There are four scenarios of which foreign companies could have the opportunity to reside in Semnan Science and Technology Park. Well, the first scenario will be the execution of soft lending programs between the two countries, which gives the foreign companies an opportunity to get familiar with the host country's market. Well, the second scenario will be holding joint events, including joint startup events, fairs, and similar events, which could help them get familiar with each other. And the other scenario, or the third way that a company could have the chance to come to our park, will be to find and carry out joint projects with our companies, and finally sharing the interests. The fourth scenario will be holding joint innovation tours, which gives the companies an opportunity to get familiar with how innovation ideas are being implemented in other countries.
These parks are essential in filling a gap in the tech innovation ecosystem, providing monetary resources and attracting investments. These establishments also join investors with particular companies and projects. They offer numerous unique services such as facilitating visa processes, offering financial assistance such as soft loans or even special incentives under free trade zones like tax exemptions. And it doesn't stop there. This park offers so much more to investors.
The other solution or the other way that could attract foreign investors will be to define BOT models, which means they have to introduce projects and within the framework of our protocols. And once it has been approved, they can operate the project for a while. This includes mainly long-term projects. Particularly, and I shall have to tell you that Semnon Science and Technology Park is very interested in projects in the fields of artificial intelligence, IT, ICT, IoT, and virtual reality. And we could help these companies. And once they have, once they build it and then operate it, they could transfer it to our park.
Most tech parks are active in the international sphere and collaborate with other domestic tech parks. Furthermore, these areas function as export hubs. Therefore, one of their main activities is boosting and supplying domestic products to this end.
Semnon Science and Technology Park has been very active in international arena. And our president, Dr. Nazari, has put a great focus in this part. And for information, I have to tell you that we have held two prestigious international events at our park. One in our park, last year we did it in March, I think, with the presence of some great companies, a Turkish delegation, some companies from Turkey. And before that, we held a joint event with Paris Technology Park, which was technology investment meeting, which we had brought another Turkish delegation to that event, and it was one of the first collaborations between science and technology parks of Iran with Paris Technology Park in such a big international event.
Over the years, the government has placed special attention on knowledge-based companies while implementing new approaches to support tech parks and their businesses. Some of these initiatives aim to remove obstacles along the path of development of these companies. Other activities involve giving resources to executive branches to further develop the ecosystem of innovation and technology nationwide. Along these lines, the Vice Presidency for Science and Technology has implemented a series of activities. This includes investing some $1.4 billion towards financial services. The government has also created a strategic technology development headquarters. It is tasked with implementing 400,000 tech projects and 150 commercialization projects. But that's not all. The government has also established 65 innovation centers and dozens more accelerators to support the developing entrepreneurship ecosystem. Currently, there are well over 7,000 knowledge-based companies scattered across the nation. These enterprises offer services and products in numerous industries. Many are active in biotech, computer software, agriculture, food, chemical tech, aircraft maintenance, steel, gas, petrochemicals, and pharmaceuticals, just to name a few. According to government figures, the knowledge-based ecosystem accounts for more than 3% of the country's gross domestic product. Moreover, the share of knowledge firms in the country's GDP in 2019 exceeded $34 billion and witnessed a 450% growth since then. That's all according to the Vice President for Science and Technology. All right, now it's time for me to take a little break here and hand it over to my good friend out in the field who's prepared a report for us.
In ancient Iran, felt was already used in the production of numerous kinds of clothing, bedclothes, floor carpets, and different kinds of sacks. In fact, the Iranian world may have been an important center for the development of felt technology. In the modern world today, felt or namat has found its way to industries of all kinds in various forms.
You just can't imagine how crowded this place is. Whenever I want to talk on the phone, I have to find a sign-up place to be able to talk to you. It's really crazy. God, in today's chaotic society, stress is an issue that many of us suffer from every day. But what matters most is trying to find distress sources and try to find effective solutions. For this reason, today I'm here to tell you that I finally found a startup, a new innovative company that has finally found a solution to this disastrous problem. I won't tell you any further. Let's just go and check it out.
Felt, or so-called namat, is the acoustic solution for rowdy places to absorb and decrease undesirable noises. The aim is to provide sound serenity and to improve physical, mental, and psychological health. Namat Studio's scope of work is based on designing and manufacturing products. Recently, it has also played a significant role in different projects like some innovation centers in Asia and Africa. This company has focused on designing and building acoustic products. Generally in Iran, there is no specific competitor in this field. However, there are some groups in America and Northern Europe that are engaged with felt.
If I want to tell you about a history about how our company established, it goes back to 3 years ago when Diva was chosen to renovate the innovation factory of Iran, that was the biggest one in the time. And the designer tried to make the offices and they tried to design a place that the people be comfortable, have a good place to work. That's why we understand that we have some advantages and disadvantages. One of these disadvantages is about the sound pollution that we had in the this area, that places were noisy and the employees didn't like that. That's why we try to use special materials for control this sound pollution, and we reached the felt material, and we try to use this material.
Designing acoustic and movable working stations with the aim of recycling old products and reuse them in different functions. What is worth noticing about this business is the fact that the problem-solution method is based upon three WH questions: why, how, and what. Why is to define the problem, how is the process towards the solution, and what is the final product and prototype. These acoustic solutions were combined with architecture in various parts of the space and played the role in sound insulation and creating a silent space.
All right, now I want to walk you through some of the major products that are made of felt. The first piece we have here is an artwork that is made of wool felt that acts as a sound-absorbing material, not only as an aesthetic material that you can put it in your home place, but also as a sound-absorbing material. There is the phone booth. If I get inside, I can feel the private space and how the atmosphere really changes. It improves the acoustic vibes and reduces the reverberation when I get inside. And there's this whole thing, we call it desk divider. It's actually one of the main products in this company. People and employees put it in on their desk to divide their own workplace with the person right next to them.
We have three different kind of material that we use on our works that absorb undesirable sounds, which are wool panels, or the other name is felt, and in Persian we say namat, and thermofelt and carpet. And the felt are in two kind of industrial felt and the natural felt. Natural felt is made by wools, and industrial material is made by a process by the battles and pet materials. They have different color patterns and thicknesses. The thicknesses are from 3 millimeter to 50 millimeter. And about the thermofelt, we have this material that we can use for more absorption. It has three kind of material with polyester, jeans, and heavy traffic, and it's very good for absorbing. And the last one is the carpet that is a heavy traffic that we use in heavy traffic places such as the offices, and it can be cleaned very easy by the vacuum cleaner.
As I mentioned earlier, this idea was created based on the concept of recreating, recycling, and revitalizing the surrounding substances and generalizing this idea to the upcoming products with different potentials. Such small-scale products are intended to improve the mental and physical health of users. And finally, creating a comfortable, inviting atmosphere.
Almost everything here is made of felt. Based on environmental psychology, the linear lighting has been created in a way to provide maximum visual and acoustic comfort in the workplace, especially a co-working space like this. This company, Namad Startup, has been trying to promote sustainability and also take steps towards industrialization. Among all the products here, there were so many things, but I decided to choose this felt laptop case to carry my laptop with me wherever I go. So as you could see, it's not about the ideas, it's about making the ideas happen.
There is so much more that can be said about the country's knowledge-based production and activities, so before we go, let's look at a couple of developments in this area. Most of us are familiar with vitamin supplements. However, some vitamins need to be injected, which can be a hassle. Now, a knowledge-based company has produced an oral form of one of these vitamins, saving many of us from the pain of sticking needles. This pharmaceutical company has produced the first oral form of a vitamin B complex that was typically only found in an injectable form. This company also operates out of Pardis Science and Technology Park. It is also one of the first and largest knowledge-based companies. It might be interesting to know that this company mainly produces raw materials such as probiotic products needed in the pharma industry. Such productions have saved the country millions on imports so far. Knowledge-based productions are driven by scientific discoveries, and Iranian scientists produce roughly 2% of the world's scientific articles. That's according to the Minister of Science, Research and Technology. Mohammad Ali Zulfigol says Iran, on average, registers around 70,000 scientific articles in international journals each year. He says Iran is now globally ranked 15th for the number of scientific papers it produces. Zulfigol noted the quality ranking of Iranian articles in the top 10 fields like technology and engineering. The minister highlighted that the nation ranks 5th in nanotechnology publications as well. The official further added that those publishing academic articles also work in knowledge-based companies, helping produce quality products in the competitive field. And with that, we come to the end of this segment. You can contact us with your thoughts and comments via email, and don't forget, you can also send us topics you're interested in. Thank you for tuning in and join us next week, same time, for another edition of Bazaar. It's bye for now. Until then.
Is there any other way to get familiar with Islam besides mainstream media? Try IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/EM.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are and wherever you are listening to us.
The keys of life.
The world is a very, very big house. Many people living in many rooms. We must open all the doors up. We must unlock them all today. Throw all the keys away.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir la'in rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Brothers and sisters, dear listeners, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to IRIB English Radio. And you are listening to the program Keys of Life, Mafatihul Hayat. One of the keys of life is protecting yourself and avoiding harm. Islam has informed and instructed us that we need to take care of our body, mentally and physically. And why is that? It is simple, because mentally and physically is what we need to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. if I harm myself in any way, shape, and form, I'm depriving myself that worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I and you will be questioned about that. As we mentioned previously, that this body that we have is actually an amana from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a trust, a covenant between us and Allah has been made about taking care of our bodies and that we need to worship Him. Now, the ma'sumeen, the infallibles, in this regard, they say that you must protect yourself from harm. And one of the ways that we protect our bodies from harm is that we need to take extra care when it comes to our eating habits. What we eat, what we drink, it must be maintained. We see that Imam Ridha alayhi salam, he himself said, لو أن الناس قصروا في الطعام, if people eat less, لَاسْتَقَامَتْ أَبْدَانُهُمْ, their bodies will be rectified, they will be strong. And also was narrated from one of the infallible saying, مَنْ قَلَّ طَعَامُهُ صَحَّ بَدَنُهُ, he who eats less, then his body will be healthy. And you can tell from what you see in today's world that we have a problem, a big problem, and that is obesity. We have people who are obese and too sick and too frail to do anything. So this all has to do with our eating habits. The less we eat, the healthier we are. And we've been told from medical experts that most of the diseases, if not all of them, are actually caused due to food and the things that we consume. So I and you have a requirement to take care of our body. When we eat, we have to know what we are eating. Is it good for me? Is it bad for me? It's not a matter of taste. It's not a matter of preference. It's not a matter of desire. This is our health we are talking about. Once we lose it, we have nothing else. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Ahlul Bayt have instructed us to take good care of our bodies. Even the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, he says, Al-ma'idatu hawdul badan, the abdominal is the carrier of the whole body. Wal-uruqu ilayha waridatun, and the arteries are rivers that flows into it. Fa'in sahhat al-ma'idatu, when the abdominal is safe and healthy, صدرت العروق بالصحة, these arteries become healthy as well. So we can see that the body itself will get affected by what we eat and what we consume. As Muslims, we have a duty to take care of our bodies. Let us take a short break and we will come back right after.
آیت الله جوادی آملی, the author of the book مفاتیح الحیات, the keys of life.
این مفاتیح باید دو جلد باشه. چندین سال این حرف گفته میشه.
This book, مفاتیح, ought to be in two volumes.
یه جلدش هی مفاتیح الجنان است. چه فلان دماغ و سواب داره فلان روزون است.
One volume, the present volume, مفاتیح الجنان, is on the level of the lofty rewards for praying, fasting, etc.
یه جلدش کم داره و اینه که فرونت رخکاری اینجا کم ثواب داره دعا هم داره ثواب هم داره.
But the book lacks its second volume, which ought to be on subjects like the lofty rewards for planting a tree.
امام اونطوری که اینو گفته بودم گفته دیگه اون امامی که گفته اگر روزه بگیری ثواب داره همون امام گفته که اگر درخت بکاری اون ثواب داره.
Imam has mentioned both of these subjects. The very Imam who has stressed out the reward for praying has also highlighted the reward for planting a tree. There are generous amounts of reward for protecting the environment. When growing wheat, take some in your hand and say these prayers. These are what the very Imam has mentioned. We lack this second volume in Islamic world.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters, and you are listening to the program Mafatihul Hayat, Keys of Life, and we're looking at one of the keys of life, and that is to take care of your body. Now, we can take care of our body physically, and sometimes we need to take care of our body mentally as well. Because if a person mentally going through traumas, stress, depression, sadness, and all these things in between, which we seem to have a lot these days, then obviously it will hinder the work and the functionality of my body. The more I take care of my mental state, the happier my body is. Even medical experts, they tell us that those who have mental issues or those who stress a lot, they cause their body to be sick. So it's not a matter of the body only, but if I and you mentally not stable, not healthy, not happy, then that will obviously have an effect on my body. And if I have so many things in my mind, if I am worried, confused, depressed, sad, how am I going to pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and worship Him with full conscience? We see that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Ahlul Bayt, they even give us instructions to take care of our mental health. For example, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, "Safiru tasuhu," travel, for you will be healthy. Now we know that if I'm sick physically and I travel, it's not going to cure my cancer, nor will it cure my ulcer or anything else, but at least it will help me mentally. When we travel, we kind of remove all the worry that we have, all the depression that we have. We see something new, different faces, different places. It makes me and you much, much more healthier, much more happier, we get more excited, and so on and so forth. So the Prophet says, you need to take care of your mental health. Go travel, go for a trip, relieve yourself of everyday stress. That's also an instruction from the Ahlul Bayt alayhum as-salam. Also, as the Ahlul Bayt tell us, not only you have the physical part of the body you have to worry about, not only you have the mental part to worry about, but also you have to take care of your spirituality as well. Because this is also another dimension of the human being that needs to be happy. Allah says in the Quran, أَلَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَئِنَّ الْقُلُوبِ. Surely with the remembrance of Allah, the hearts will be content. Happiness, inner happiness, inner peace will only come if we are connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The more we indulge in the worldly matter and desires, the more depressed and sad we will be. Therefore, you see Amir al-Mu'mineen salamullah alayhi, he says in a hadith where he talks about Salatul Layl, the night prayer. And he says, waking up during the night, praying your night prayer, it keeps your body healthy, not only physically, but also spiritually. Again, Amir al-Mu'mineen salamullah alayhi says, being silent, being quiet is health, is safeguard. The less we talk, the less we say things, the more comfortable and relaxed our souls are. So let us take care of our bodies more often. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Driving past, walking fast, to the field of dreams. Hear the children's screams.
There was the Keys of Life by Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran, IRIB English Radio.
Every corner represents a different image in my mind. A momentary emotion, space spent in time.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.